Week eight, we're just going to keep it rolling over here at the process. Let's do what we usually do. Let's talk Thursday night football, Bucks and Bills. After that, we'll go over hits and misses, do a little bit of housekeeping, and then the usual suspects. Talk about would you rather get my pick on this or that, do a little reload, give you the DFS good, see if we can keep the party going there. And that's what we got on tap. Let's go. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process. All right, I want to jump right into it, guys, because we've been on to something here, been hot the last couple of weeks. Let's keep the fire going. Just jump right into what we have been doing. First of all, for housekeeping, let's go over the hits and the misses last week. I want to talk about the misses first. I want to talk about Sam Howell. I said he was literally said he was very interesting, but I would pass, which I did, and I said he would be okay to pay down. If you saw, you know, the Twitter post, like I'll post the double up winnings or whatever, any winnings, really, I'll post there. And you would have saw that I did not use Sam Howell. I used exactly as we planned, Lamar Jackson. If you don't follow over there, you can just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, and then this will come up. The process will come up. You can find us over there that way. However, I said it was okay to use if you want to pay down. That was wrong. Said Jimmy G and Ritter. Jimmy G's out and Ritter couldn't be trusted. Ritter kind of proved that right with his mistake. Said no to Walker. But the big thing was we said you could pay down with Howe. So that was incorrect. Also incorrect, Marquise Brown basically said he would be cheaper, but as productive as the Zay Flowers, the Christian Watson, the Terry McLaurin. And he did outperform Watson, but not the rest of them. So there's that. London, I said he was in a downgraded matchup. I know he had the touchdown taken off the board, but, I mean, closer than I expected. And really, Dobbs didn't do too much either. He didn't burn us. I mean, we got some production there, but you know, those are the things that I think were the misses there. Also said you could use the Browns defense. That's a miss at $3,300 on DraftKings. Call that out. That is a mistake. What we hit on. Okay. So we said we would use Lamar Jackson, gave you all the reasons why, and that hit. Mahomes would be the alternate. Also one miss is I said if I use Mahomes, I would pay down at tight end and play him naked and pick up another premier wide receiver. That was a wrong call. I should have played him with Kelce. But pivoting from him, the correct call. If you want to be with the chalk, with everybody, you know, the chalk, the big train, as they call it, it's going to be hard to win. Talked a little bit about this at the end of last week. Long story short. If we have five players and you and I are going to use the same player, like Mahomes, right? Then that really means if it's me and you head to head, then the contest is not about five players. It's about four players because we're both using Mahomes, right? This is what you do when you play the chalk. This is what you do. Sorry, guys. This is what you do when you jump in on that. You eliminate the opportunities you have to separate yourself and be different. And we did not fall into that trap last week. We played Mahomes. We played Jackson instead of Mahomes in the cash game lineup. And low ownership, less than 5% ownership. That's a huge win right there for a guy that comes back with multiple touchdowns. Hits the tight end connection that we made there for multiple touchdowns. Talked about Mark Andrews at $5,700 and just said, boom, playing with Lamar. That was the right call. I hope we realize that was the better call than the Kelce and Mahomes. Mahomes outscored Lamar, but you know what? Lamar and Andrews is cheaper than Kelce and Mahomes. So the return on investment was equal, if not greater. And we had cash left to spend in other ways in the lineup. So just a masterful week in terms of giving you guys free good information that you literally could have just plug and played into any cash game 50-50 lineup and brought back some cash back to the house. What else did we get correct? Diggs, used him in the lineup. Said I would take my chances on J.C. Jackson. He saved us with a touchdown late. Cup was very expensive. Allen without, you know, Herbert really looking on lately didn't seem like the right move to make at that price. And didn't want to invest in Devontae Adams with no Jimmy G. So all that was right. You know, getting so much production from a couple of spots means we didn't get burned by the Marquise Brown, right, and the Dobbs. They did exactly what they needed to do. They didn't blank us. We got some points out of that. So Diggs, Dobbs, and Brown was effective when put alongside Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. Now, for the defense, we did use the Chiefs, and that was perfect. That worked out just perfectly, got us some points there. But the crushers were, number one, Ford at running back. So I said, you know, we were going to pay down with Ford and Dillon and Foreman in the flex, right? So let's talk about that. So Dillon was the lead back for all intents and purposes versus Denver, and that worked out just the way we said game script-wise with them easing Jones back in if he played at all. Gave a very compelling case about playing Dillon if Jones doesn't play or if he does play, and that held up. Ford, on the other hand, was a decent play. We didn't get blanked. We got some points off of it because he got going right away, but he also got hurt. So we lost out on that. Obviously, would have been a much bigger day. You say, why don't you play Ford and Hunt? You know, that's a play that you make if you know that Watson is going to be out. Watson burns us by trying to play. So we couldn't really adjust for that. It's an option this week. We'll talk about that later on. But for last week, we just had Ford, and it paid off enough. But Donta Foreman was the big crusher. So $4,800, massive return on investment for a low owned. And he was actually fairly high owned, but everybody else they hit for us was not, even Ford. So the opportunity, you know, to pair him alongside those other guys separates us now in a huge way. So this worked out to be a very nice Sunday in DraftKings. I mean, it was a nice Sunday all around for me. I can't remember, y'all, any one time where I ever won everything in the week, except for FFPC. Obviously, you guys know in the Pro League, you're just collecting points up until the playoffs. But, man, I could have did better, actually, in that league. So we won't say everything. So I could have scored more points in that league, for sure. But we don't want to rest on our laurels. We want to just understand that the information basis is correct. So we're going to keep going with that. I am not doing any special, okay? Anything special. I'm watching the games intently, and I'm rewatching it during the week if I get confused about something. And when we go through those game scripts, I'm literally telling you guys exactly the flow of the game as I think it. And so a lot of my picks are being based off that. So you guys can pilfer that information for picks that you think make six, because in the reload segment, we always talk about guys I don't play in DFS, maybe for cash reasons or whatever, but it's your world, squirrel. Go get after it any way y'all want to do it. That's why that segment is there, so you can hear everybody, everything, and play it how you want to play it, playa. All right, as far as the rest of housekeeping goes, guys, there's no bye week teams this week. We're about to get at it in the middle of the NFL football season for the first time ever, long time since, I don't know, ever. But point in mentioning that to you all is this. If it's not working this week, you need to think about it in terms of what your team is doing points-wise. Like if you've been skating, let's say you're 5-2, but you got like bottom amount of points in the league, right? You're getting lucky. You're not getting a lot of points scored on you. Look, if you can't score this week, you got to think about what to do. And that's everybody. That is everybody. Now, I know there's injuries. And so if you got guys like Cooper and stuff like that, then obviously those players are affected. But if we got guys that are supposed to be a rock solid part of your team and they're in the go scenario this week, meaning healthy, probable, like, you know, matchup wise or not, we're getting to that pivotal point in the year where you got to know you can lean on somebody, right? Like that song says, lean on me. So you got to think about it if you don't put points up this week is my point. And another thing to consider, mentioned this 2 weeks ago, but I hate to be, you know, keep ringing the bad news bell, but you got to hear it, right? Might as well hear it from friends. Twice as many losses as wins. You need to trade. You can't be in that lifestyle. Do you know what I mean when I say in that lifestyle? What I mean is you know, through 7 weeks, let's say you are 2-5. You got twice as many losses and more as you do wins. You can't be in that lifestyle. If you are 4-3, you good? You good. We're just playing fantasy football. But again, twice as many losses as wins. You need to go trade, not hit the wire. It's not there, baby. The wire is only going to save your butt in maybe one or two positions at most on a weekly lineup if you catch it 2 weeks ahead of time like we talked about. But if you want to turn the thing around, you need to trade. Lastly, let's use our housekeeping to talk about Bucks and Bills Monday, or I'm sorry, Thursday Night Football. It's Thursday. I watched it tonight. It's Thursday. How did I mess that up? This was exactly what Buffalo needed in terms of a get right, just something to make you feel good, remember who you are. They are who we thought they are, that sort of a moment. This is all they needed that for, and they got that. Allen went off. He hit Diggs. He hit Gabe Davis. You've got some sort of clarity at the tight end position because Knox is on IR now. So load it up with Kincaid if you need that. And if you trusted him, you had to do it this week. That paid off for you. So defensively, better. And I got to give some credit to Baker. I mean, he tried, but you can only do so much when you don't have time to throw. The rush was there. That's a great sign for Buffalo. Can you repeat that sort of a pass rush week to week? They were able to negate fantastic weapon tonight in Mike Evans. Now, Godwin got his, but Evans in the tight end game all negated because of that pass rush. And Baker was doing his best to stand in and get it out there. So something to consider as they get down the stretch here is, can they continue to get to the quarterback? That's going to decide the season for the Buffalo Bills, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the schedule and you look at the division that they play in. That's what's coming up for them. For Tampa Bay, they're just the team that we thought they were too. So don't be too bad on these guys. Don't feel too bad on them. They're just coming back down to earth. They were riding hot. Teams are starting to figure that SHI, you know what, out. They're going to have to figure something else out. But, you know, it all starts up front. They were a weaker unit at the line today, and that showed. Now, that being said, they made some great adjustments at the end of the game, kept themselves in the game. Defense made just enough plays to get – you got to give it up to guys like Neal, the safety. They kept – Diggs in front of them, which is not easy to do, right? And so you got the ability to do that. You make your life much more able to be lived during that football game. They didn't play terrible, and that's a good sign to play Buffalo that way. Had your chances here and there, but hey, that's the way the chips fell. They'll put it back together and take this long rest here to get good and really lick those wounds and come out swinging in week 9. Buffalo, same thing. Take this win. Get yourselves, you know, right, especially on the defense. Another week for Von Miller to kind of get it going and start that ascension to the top. All right, guys, that's housekeeping for this week. We done cleaned her up. Let's play a little round of Would You Rather. I will go through 12 conundrums and tell you whether I would rather play this player or that player this week. First Would You Rather conundrum this week is Daryl Henderson or Brandon Ayuk. Who is asking these questions? Some of these are some junior people. I would say no to Daryl Henderson because he's not on the roster anymore. Things change that quickly in the Rams. So let's talk about who would I use. Guys, you don't go lean on Zach Evans just yet. There's not a lot of clarity there. That's a part of the problem that they're going to have this week. Is they're going to, I think McVay's keeping it close to the vest because he doesn't want the opponent to have an opportunity to key in on some scouting or whoever they go with. But regardless of whoever it is, that person or Brandon Ayuk is the question this week. Now, Ayuk has got a downgrade because more attention for him because there's no Debo. And also, you're going to be, you know, hopefully catching it, but you're going to be catching passes from, Sam Darnold will be back there instead. Not a guy we want to trust getting our passes from. And it's been some years since he's had the job. A lot of reasons to stay away. So I'm going to say in this very weird ask, let's assume that it's Zach Evans and let's go with that person over Ayuk, just because they don't have bodies for the Rams, right? And so they're going to have to use what they have. So that's okay. Next up, would I rather play Brandon Cooks this week, Dallas, or would rather play Rashad White for Tampa Bay? So obviously the Thursday game already just happened. White was, you know, about what you would expect. I think, you know, this is not something where I needed the night to tell me this. It's going to be Cooks. I know we're a little down on Dallas right now, but we'll talk later on about that game script, and I'll make it apparent why you should play Cooks this week and maybe even over some other wide receivers. I'm not going to say Lamb is seasonal, but in DFS, I'll probably play Cooks over Lamb this week. Okay, Adam Thielen or Chuba Hubbard this week. Tougher matchup for Thielen. He is the target, though, so I'll have to give it to him by just a little bit, because Chuba Hubbard is going to see touches back to Miles Sanders this week. So mixed backfield. Again, I know it's not a great opportunity, like a great matchup for Thielen, but he gets the looks. Okay, DeAndre Hopkins or Daryl Henderson. Not Hopkins, for the same reason that we can't go with Ayuk. The quarterback play. Tannehill doesn't look like he's going to play. Tennessee talking about using multiple quarterbacks to replace him. That's never a good thing. So, you know, we want to lean into that defensively and actually think about Atlanta, as we'll talk about later on. But as far as this conundrum goes, there's no way you can go with the other person. And look who it is. Oh, it's Daryl Henderson. So we'll sub in Zach Evans, right? Remember, sub in whichever guy we hear it is. But I would take that person over Hopkins this week as well in that matchup. Okay, would I rather play Romeo Doubs or Jalen Warren this week? This is an easier one. I'll go with Doubs. He's in a great spot. He, you know, got a few numbers last week just because he gets the targets and the looks. Somewhere along the line, we got confused that Christian Watson was the number one undisputed wide receiver Green Bay. He is one of the number ones out there, but the type of routes that they run are different. They're complementary. And so he's the home run guy. But when you're looking to move the chains and kind of play more possession football, that is going to be Doubs. He's a bigger target, right? Watson's faster. He's the jet burner. Doubs is the bigger guy. He can, you know, hit him across the middle. He can take those hits from some of those guys back there. Doubs is in a good place with Green Bay this week going up against Minnesota. All right, Logan Thomas or Brandon Cooks. So I would take Cooks again in this one. I know, you know, Philly and Washington. Washington plays Philly well. Logan Thomas, there's just not a lot of production there from week to week. I would go against him almost. And I think Cooks is starting to find his rhythm in the offense more. I'm not just saying that because of recent touchdowns, but the continuity is there. The targets are there. So Cooks, Darren Waller this week, Giants, or Rashad White. I probably would have gone with White. I mean, Waller's playing the Jets. Yeah, he could have some production there. But again, we don't know what's happening in that quarterback. I probably would have went with White. Deonta Foreman or Zay Flowers. So I wouldn't play Foreman this week because Roshon Johnson is coming back, and I really do think it's his job over Foreman's. So they want to see what they have with him. They know what they have with Foreman. Foreman mix of decent and, you know, luck last week. So it's not that he's that great of a runner, right? But it was opportunity, right? So that doesn't mean that they're going to roll him and that's their guy and rolling to the playoffs with this. It's not that, right? Roschon Johnson's going to get the looks this week. They need to see what they have there. He's going to be cleared out of concussion protocol. It's very rare that an NFL player has to take 2 weeks anyway for a concussion. I know in real life that seems about right, but in the NFL, just a week. And he sat out 2 weeks, so he should be playing, and he'll get the touches. So I would fade Foreman. So it would be Roschon Johnson, who would be the better pick. Now, Zay Flowers, I think he's in a good spot this week. So, if you know, even if I wanted to think about Roschon Johnson over Zay Flowers, I would still do Roschon just because the touches, the looks. I think he's going to get those attempts on the ground. Zay Flowers will get the targets, but I do think Roschon Johnson gets more rushing attempts than Zay Flowers does passing targets this week. All right, would you rather play DK Metcalf or James Cook? Oh, Cook, man, he played tonight too. I think you got to play DK Metcalf, even though it's been disappointing, I know, as a Metcalf owner. Just keep playing him. He's too big. He's too strong. Like, why? He's too fat. Like, why don't you guys just throw to him all the time? I would do it. I know there's problems with him staying on the field, but in a scenario this Sunday, there's an opportunity for him again to, I know it's a tough matchup, but if Lockett gets the attention and you get him in some one-on-one scenarios, like, you just got to get him the ball, okay? Cook looks so good in his flashes. I know there wasn't a ton of production there, but typically I'm telling you to go away from the Buffalo running game. That's not new. If you've been listening, when have I ever preached Buffalo, even when we pay down for running backs? We joke about this, but Josh Allen is the running back there. So can't see myself having told you that. It would be Metcalf. All right, Terry McLaurin this week, Washington going up against Philly, or Dalton Kincaid tonight, Buffalo. I would have actually gone with Terry McLaurin either way. Better game for Kincaid, but again, his place in the pecking order is a bit lower than Terry McLaurin's is in Washington. Washington is not afraid to throw the football against Philly, for better or worse. I think for worse this time around, but that remains to be seen. Either way, Terry McLaurin. Okay, Amari Cooper or Damian Pierce. You know, even if Watson was playing, let's consider that. No, and I would still say Pierce. Pierce is in a great spot this week, actually. And Calvin Ridley or Rashad White. Ridley is in a better spot, although I think Christian Kirk is going to get the production. I'd still have gone with Ridley. All right, I realize that has a lot of Thursday stuff in it. I've got to think about that the next time we do the podcast on a Thursday, of just taking the 12 biggest conundrums from fantasypros.com over the week, and using on Thursday has to do with Thursday Night Football. So we'll figure something else out there. But that is Would You Rather for this week. And now it's time for the process to reload. With New England at Miami. So Miami coming in a little bit banged up. Hill says he's going to play. He's having, he's a little banged up. Waddle also banged up. I think Hill's is the hamstring. Not a lot of concern for me. If he's going to play, then I'm sure he's fine. Okay. I don't think they would risk his health by letting him play if he wasn't suitable to play. So I'm not worried about that. He should be okay, but I think for DFS, just paying that much doesn't make sense for a guy that is injured. And the reason why I want to mention that is because watching the last couple of Dolphins games, he's come off the field. He's ended the game early. They blow out, so he doesn't have to play anymore. It's just not adding up to an end-to-end game. And then we've seen him, deal with this injury now. So I want to stay away. Now, seasonal, play it, feel fine. Don't even think twice about it. Waddle, do the same thing for seasonal, but for DFS, he had the back spasms last week. Of course, he was able to finish the game, which is great. But again, for DFS, I'm not sure that I want to. I think there's better options to pay for, especially his production not having been what it was last year. So Tyreek Hill getting more production this year than what he was getting last year. So, give and take. So in terms of this game, like Miami, okay, love Miami. And it looks like all systems are going to be go for them, even if those guys are a little bit banged up. That's fine. So you got to elevate Tua. I know the matchup isn't great. In the first time that they played, I don't think I recommended, you know, the Miami offense on DraftKings because of the familiarity from Belichick. I'm going to stay away. I'm just going to say a seasonal, you're fine. There's other things we can do in DFS. But, you know, feel fine if you've got Tua, Tyreek, any of these guys. Most are banged up. You know, saw that coming. He can't stay healthy. So most are banged up. You know, the running game is going to be pivotal. I think that he is going to play. Whoever starts in Miami is in line for a pretty good game, I believe. And it should be Mostert. I would play him if he plays. I know it's questionable, but just play him if he is playing. That's a good play. On the other side for New England, Ramon Stevenson seems to be turning it on. I know Elliott is lurking and stealing touchdowns, but Stevenson's production is starting to tick up. And I think Belichick understands he's going to have to run it to kind of, you know, slow Miami down. They're not going to slow them down so much as thinking of other ways to do it, and eating that clock is one way. So I can see them running. So we like Ramon Stevenson. And Kendrick Bourne, who we talked about a little bit last week, that was nice to see that production come through, use them in seasonal. He's in a better spot this week. I like him as a receiver above all else as well. So I'll take that. I know you've got Hunter Henry. There's some interest there in seasonal, but I'm staying away in DFS. So again, for New England, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, Stevenson, Ramon Stevenson, but in reverse order, Stevenson, Bourne, Henry, Fay Jones. They will lose this game. Miami will win. The Miami defense, I think, has a chance to show up and be a nice player here. So if you want to get on that, that's cool. But Miami should play their style of football, and injury or not, it'll be enough. They'll have enough to win. New England won't be able to keep up. Reload. Battle of the New York teams, Jets at Giants. So the Giants, you know, the thing about the Giants is I think that they are going to take some sacks. They're going to take some sacks today, on Sunday, I should say. So the Jets defense looks like they're in a good spot. I don't necessarily like Garrett Wilson as much as I have in weeks past, just because he's much more of a guy that's going to do well against the zone, right? Giants going to try to play a little bit more man. And so I think that doesn't bode quite as well for him. No interest in Wilson at quarterback. I'll be fading that. But Breece Lightning, I have a lot of interest there. I think that he's a nice piece as a flex option for DFS. So it's all systems go for him. Giants are not the best team. They're not the worst team in stopping the run, but they're not the best now. Come on now. With what we've seen from Breece, he should be able to be effective at such a DFS price, which we'll talk about later, but in seasonal, if you got them, play them and feel great about that. That's going to anchor what they want to do. Use the defense and use Breece Hall. The Giants don't stand a chance if they can't keep the quarterback upright. We don't know that Daniel Jones is going to play. Even if he plays, he's going to be running for his life. It could be Tyrod, and if Tyrod's playing, this is not going to work out as well as it did last week. Different kind of a defense. However you want to slice this cake, it is going to be the New York Jets beating the New York Giants, but it's going to be a closer game because of the New York rivalry. So as far as the Jets go, do I have any guys that I like there? I'm not overly excited to recommend anybody, man. Anybody. If I had to throw one name into a hat for you, it'd be Jalen Hyatt. You know, maybe not Slayton, but Hyatt. But I don't know. Saquon Barkley, play him if you got him in season. I'll feel fine. I'm staying away from that from DFS, but Jets win that one. Reload. Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Okay, so for Pittsburgh, the thing is the offensive line is atrocious. I also have reservation about their ability to keep Josh Allen away from Mr. Kenny Pickett. So I just feel like he's going to be running for his life as well. That's going to shorten up the A dot. So I like the receivers, though. I think that the Jacksonville defense is not super imposing to where he can't get the ball to them. And I just don't think that much of the Pittsburgh offense. But I still think he can get the ball to these guys. These guys being, you know, your George Pickens, right? So your Deontay Johnson, you know, I think they could spread it around, especially considering the fact that Freiermuth is out. I believe Freiermuth was actually put on IR. So Now, that would have made sense for the lower ADOT or depth of target, lower, you know, average depth of target, playing around that line of scrimmage a little bit more if Jacksonville is going to be pass rushing, as I suspect they will. So I like all the receivers, none more than the other. I don't like them enough to pay for them in DFS. I don't want to play them in seasonal if I have to, but for this football game, it's just going to be a Tomlin thing where they can do enough to get away with it. They're defensively the way. Their pass rush is going to be good on the other side. You know, Lawrence is going to have to get rid of it, but for them, I like the fact that Etienne is in store for, I think, a decent day, and that's going to be an equalizer for Jacksonville. That's going to ease up the defense. They can't pin their ears and come at you every time. They're going to have to revert to some cover three and deal with it. So in those scenarios, I'm really liking Christian Kirk. Calvin Ridley's in a good spot too, but I'm going to take Christian Kirk over Ridley this week. I understand that Minka Fitzpatrick could potentially be guarding him, and that could be an issue for Christian Kirk. However, if Etienne is having the game that I think he's going to have, the way that Pittsburgh deals with that run sometimes is bringing in the defender in the secondary into the box, and that's Minka Fitzpatrick, and he comes up and plays that pseudo linebacker position. He does it really well too. He's been doing that. Now, the past couple of weeks, he's been able to play back more, but I think if Etienne is doing what I think he's doing, then that forces Minka up. That frees up things for Christian Kirk a little bit more. So I like that. But Pittsburgh, though, is going to find a way to win this. I think defensively at home, they're just going to be a little bit more tougher than what Jacksonville is ready for, in my opinion. They have been tough. They have been gritty. It's been tough to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. This is how they want to play football. They're 4-2. They're pretty good at it. They got the guys that they think they can use to win. Now, the running game, they're going to keep plowing it forward because they needed to take pressure off the pass. Is it going to work? I don't think so. So if you got Najee, play him in seasonal, feel fine about it. Jalen Samuels, nothing more than a flex, and it depends on who else you got out there. But I like Pittsburgh in this game. We'll say Tomlin keeps his boys rolling. Reload. Next up, Atlanta at Tennessee. You know, last week, Atlanta just shot themselves in the foot. We're not even just talking about the whole Bijan Robinson not playing thing, them not reporting that correctly thing, which is a huge issue because the NFL has a huge partner in organized gambling now. And so if you are going to open and walk through that door, then we got to know about the injuries, period. That's all I'm going to say about that. But beside that, Ridder not taking care of the ball, getting the touchback instead of the touchdown when they were trying to ice the game, those are the little things that show me exactly who the Atlanta Falcons are. There was less shoot-yourself-in-the-foot activity last year with a veteran quarterback. And this year, yes, a little bit more production with Ridder. But to what end? To what end? They shoot themselves in the foot, as I just said. So that's just my thought on it. So I'm thinking of all that and taking a look at their stats and taking a look at their rankings and coming into this week at Atlanta. Okay, so no Tannehill. We may, and Tennessee's not even saying which quarterback we're going to see from them. So nothing to really cue in on there yet. That's why I'm downgrading Hopkins. But for the Atlanta defense, it's a step up. Playing somebody who doesn't play every week, let's get after it. For Tennessee, obviously you want to try to run the ball, but Derrick Henry has been so interesting, we'll call it, easy to bring down. I mean, you know, play him a seasonal, feel fine about it, but it's like Tajay Spears is going to be involved, is what I'm thinking in terms of this game on Sunday. They will do it. They will run it enough between the two of them, and I think you got to use them both because of the lack of experience. Malik Willis or whoever you use at quarterback, it's going to be a problem. And so there's that run, but Atlanta's pretty stout against the run. So it's limited. I just don't see them being able to have a lot of options. I think the Atlanta defense has a lot of options. It's not that they are a great unit, but they are a decent unit in a really good place. Atlanta can really do themselves a favor after what happened last week by coming out playing some hard-nosed defense. They're going to try to run the football. That's not going to work this week. I think Tennessee is stout enough up front to where Bijan will get the reps this week. We don't know how well that works out. Ridder and company will be forced to pass. Now, I think this is going to be a closer game. Tennessee's going to try to force him to make some mistakes. He has shown that he can open it up a little bit. I like London, but the rest of them are iffy. Pitts, you know, so-so. Jonnu Smith a little more than Pitts, but is there going to be enough production there without mistakes is what, you know, they're going to be hoping for. And Tennessee, for their intents and purposes, is going to put eight in the box and say, fine, let Ridder stop us, right? So there's a lot of volume there. I don't want to be putting my eggs in that basket for DFS. I'm not saying I'm doing that, but that's where the volume is. And then it's London, Jonnu, and then Pitts for sure. For me, I'm out on the run game. At the end of the day, Atlanta, led by the defense, should have enough. They should have enough to win this. I think if the game is close and Tennessee has to try to do a two-minute, you know, drill or something like that, the Atlanta defense can walk away with the last second interception to ice the game and get out of there with the victory kneeling. Elite reload. All right, next one, Houston at Carolina. This is a funny matchup because it's the C.J. Stroud going up against Bryce Young, and it's just something that is going to crystallize the mistake that the Panthers made in taking Young over Stroud. Stroud's going to come in and beat the brakes off of this boy. Carolina's not great, but what can they do? Well, I think the time's going to get worse this week because Miles Sanders is coming back. If I don't know if he's healthy, if it's the groin or what's going on. A lot of people were just saying he looks washed, not good. Chubba Hubbard looks better. He might be the better runner. I don't know. But this week, Miles Sanders is getting the run, and he's going to have to do something with it if he wants a job. It's not – the question isn't what to do. The question is, if I have Miles Sanders, I have to play him. But the question is, do I also play Chubba Hubbard, too, if I have him? I don't think we get that involved. But in season, I got to play him. If you don't have – Sanders and you have Chubba Hubbard and you got running back problems, you could do that too if you want. I think he's going to be more productive, even though he'll get more limited touches. And he, I mean by Chubba Hubbard. Now, the only receiver you could trust for Carolina, it's got to be the tight end. It's like Bryce Young. I think the pressure can get to him. We can see him make mistakes. Houston defense is in a really good spot. But the check down Charlie stuff, man, you got to go with it. You got to go with that. So I like the idea of a Hayden Hurst. And this is a guy that hasn't been overly productive, but he scored in every game at least. And he's got three games of multiple targets and receptions. So that's something to count for, even in DFS, as we'll talk about later. But that's really all I like. That's very limited. As I said, the Houston defense, that is something that is in play for sure. And then Pierce running the football is an excellent play for DFS. That's an excellent play. He's an excellent price. We like all of that. As far as the receivers go, Robert Woods, so Bob Tree's not going to play, it doesn't look like. So, you know, you want to bump up Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Don't run away. Don't get carried away with that stuff, guys, because the running game is in such a good place, and so is the defense. I just, you know, there'll be some opportunities for the offense, but just don't get carried away. Carolina's not going to provide some sort of a, game script where they got to pass to keep up and all that stuff. It just ain't happening, y'all. It just ain't happening like that. Sorry. But Houston's going to go in and win this game on the road, led by their defense and their quarterback. Stroud gets a turn back right this week. I don't think he throws a pick in this one. Reload. All right, Rams going to Dallas. Let's talk about it. So Dallas, the ADOT for the Dallas Cowboys, average depth of target for Dak Prescott, has been much lower this year than it was last year or traditionally what it's been for his career. They talked about over the offseason of cutting down on the picks, right? So you're thinking playing smarter, going through the progressions, knowing the playbook, adjusting the plays a little bit more. You know, they bring in the new coordinator, all this, right? That's not what happened. All they've been doing is throwing it closer to the line of scrimmage. Dak seems paralyzed by taking the opportunity deep with the sticks. So that's what that offense looks like. That hampers a lot of the upside of the offense right now. Now, if you are playing the Rams, then you're playing Aaron Donald. And so you're going to need to get the ball out quickly. I think he's going to be more than happy to get the ball out quickly. This is the problem with Lamb. That's why he's not having a fantastic year, is because his average depth of route run is too far for what Dak Prescott wants to do. That's why you're seeing more success with like a Gallup, and that's why you're seeing Ferguson, a tight end, continue to remain talked about and in the picture. So in terms of what do I like for Dallas, the running back situation, so Tony Pollard, fine. I'm staying away from Doddle. But as far as, you know, wide receivers go, maybe Gallup if you need him in season, though, I don't think I need any of that in DFS. I'm very worried about the pass rush in these Dallas Cowboys. On the Rams side of things, it's going to be an interesting day for them, too. Dallas defense have weathered some of these injuries, and they're dealing with this bend don't break mentality, and the Rams are going to force that, right? They do play a lot of man defense. I think for Kupp, the zone is better. I like this matchup. I don't think it's a good matchup for them, for the Rams, but I like it for Dallas. So I want to downgrade Kupp. I want to downgrade Nacua. But the thing about the Rams is you got Tutu Atwell as well. And so for Dallas, you cannot hold everybody, right? Now, here's the issue, though. The Rams don't really have a live body at running back. And so that complicates the scenario because you need you need those runs, right? You need to have the run game to complement the pass, or else they're just going to play the pass all game. If they can play the pass all game, they're just going to pin their ears back. And you don't want Dallas to do that. Micah Parsons and company can get after it. So if you're inviting them to do that by telling them that they don't have to worry about the run, that's not going to be a very good thing. I think the Rams know that, but I think regardless of whoever they bring to the table to run the football, it's not going to be enough. I think that the Rams are going to play a close game, but they need significant production at the running back position. So this is why I was saying in the last couple of segments, or the last segment, would you rather, this is why I would play whoever they play at running back. We just don't know who that's going to be because he has to get the touches or else it's not going to end well for Stafford. He's going to get concussed into Never Never Land if they don't augment what they're doing with some runs. So they need to figure that part of the scenario out. This is going to be a very tight game. Who do I like? Man, this is a close one. Dallas is stinging from that loss from the Steelers last week. The Rams are. Dallas, for their part, I think, are not a consistent football team. Their recent victory is going to drag them back down to earth, I think. These two teams are meeting in the middle a little bit. The Rams will get enough from their running game, regardless of who it is, that the passing game will be okay. And there's just too many weapons. You saw Atwell score last week. You got Atwell, Nacua, Kupp. You can't hold them all. So the Rams will find a way to win. Aaron Donald will find a way to be a difference-making presence. Dak will find a way to mess it up because of the pressure that defense puts on. Rams walk away from Dallas with the victory to get themselves to 500. Dallas stays above 500, but just more evidence of who they really are as a football team. Reload. Minnesota at Green Bay. Okay, guys, the thing about this game is Green Bay, a little tougher to pass on, easier to run on, right? But they've got some significant injuries in the secondary. Guys banged up, maybe not play. We need to figure out how all that plays out for sure before we make some definitive statements there. But as it stands, it looks like better, you know, seas, you know, warmer seas for Minnesota passing offense. And so when you look at apps like DraftKings and stuff like that, it's like they got the rankings and it's like, oh, opponent is tough, and it's like, you know, it's got it in the red numbers, you know, fifth best defense, whatever, right? But that's going to scare a lot of people off. They won't look into those injuries. It's a much friendlier environment for Cousins than anticipated, you know, earlier in the week or last week. So he's in a good spot. Addison is in a good spot too. With these guys getting injured in the wide receiver core, I think you start to see a little bit more Brown too. I know KJ Osborne is out there, but Brandon Powell is the other guy that I think gets involved. So keep your eye on him if you need somebody, but you shouldn't need a flyer like that in a week where we don't have any bye weeks, as we said. But the Minnesota passing game, I think, is, you know, in a decent place, but it's going to be all about the run. It's going to be all about the run because the way to beat the Green Bay defense, right, is like run the football. So if I'm Green Bay and I think that's it, then maybe I play man defense and stuff the box, right? Now you can't do that because of the personnel issues that you're having. I think these guys missing in the secondary for Green Bay is going to play better for Minnesota, because let's say they do it. All right. So this is the game plan. We stick to it, right? So Minnesota comes out with Madison and company. Madison and company will. Okay. So if he starts to get production, if you bring these guys to the box, I don't think it's going to matter is what I'm getting at, because of the injuries. And so I think that it is a scenario to where maybe the second up guys for the Green Bay secondary can do a better job at replacing the starters ahead of them in the secondary, in the passing game. But as far as supporting the run game, I think Green Bay's up a creek without a paddle. So I still like Madison. That's the play there. Everything else will augment off of that. You're going to lean into what is the easiest way to win. You don't get style points in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. So just because the door is open, the window opens with the pass game, so what? The front door is wide open with Madison in the run game. They're just going to go bolt through that thing. For Green Bay side, Jones obviously not right, you know. So again, same thing with Dylan. I like him regardless of whether Jones plays or not, but he's getting healthier, hopefully, and he's got another week, but it's just so sketchy, right? So if you got Jones, you want to play him, that's fine. If you don't want to play him, I'm okay with that too. I can't really tell you to play him at this point. But Dylan, I'm playing him. I got to play him because he's the lead back at this point and Jones is the accent back. So if you want to think about it like that, swap the scenarios. Would you play Aaron Jones? Most people would think, in what scenario would it, right? Would you play Dylan is usually the question. Now it's swapped. Would you play Aaron Jones because of his injury? So that's something to think about. But for Green Bay, the pass game has got to be there as well. You're going to need that. That's going to be a huge part of what they want to execute. And I'm not looking at Musgrave at tight end. It's going to have to come through the air. And again, Christian Watson, sure. But I've got my eyes on Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs again. And then DFS, that value is just there, man. For somebody getting targets and looks and getting end zone looks, they don't want to increase the salary for him. That's cool. We'll keep taking those cheap end zone targets. So Romeo Doubs in play for me. I do believe that Minnesota goes on the road and they win this football game in Green Bay. This is the start of the turn of the narrative changing for them. The first narrative was, you know, most turnover, you know, riddled team. Shooting themselves in the foot, not a great football team. If they beat Green Bay, they're up to 500, and basically they're right back in business in the division. So it'll be like it never happened, right? Overnight. So Minnesota has a lot at stake here. Defensively played a little better last week. That's going to continue to happen this week even more. I don't know if I necessarily want to play Minnesota defense, but Minnesota offense is going to do enough so that they can win that football game. I think Green Bay is going to have to keep up, which is why I like the passing game and the running game as well, just because you cannot pass all game. I think Green Bay will come out trying to establish the run, but over the course of the second half of the game, Minnesota is going to make it difficult to continue to do that, is in my estimation. All right. Minnesota on the road. Reload. New Orleans at Indianapolis. Okay. Indianapolis. Minshew, not great, but he's able to activate these guys. Pittman, I like Pittman, but Lattimore will probably be in his hip pocket all afternoon. And so I got to downgrade him. And I think you do like Josh Downs or Alec Pierce or one of the other guys. That's much more suitable along with the run game, though. So if I'm taking a chance, again, you shouldn't be doing that in a seasonal. That's for DFS, right? So Downs for DFS. Go, right? Seasonal, I'm saying you shouldn't be taking a chance because it's no buy teams, again. So you shouldn't have to be digging that far down. Now, the running game, I do like. Now, I know New Orleans is a little stout against the run, but Moss, and Taylor together is going to provide enough volume to give the passing game the break that it needs. And so I very much like Downs, and I very much like just the running game to keep it going. I'm not sure I want to play in DFS one of those guys, but if you got Jonathan Taylor in season, play him and feel great. If you got Moss, you can still play him too, just because if this were another matchup, I think it would be more JT, but because of the nature of this matchup, they're going to just do what they've been doing, which is what I think is run both of these teams. On the New Orleans side of things, though, the climate is right for everybody. Carr is going to play, and Olave, there's no issue with him. He's going to play, but you know, Shahid is in play. Olave's in play. Michael Thomas in play. You know, I like everybody. Kamara. Now you got Jamal Williams as well now. So you've got that accent too. Thunder and lightning as far as the running game goes. The water is so warm for everybody. This is why I think for New Orleans, it's hard for me to recommend, like, say, you know, Carr for DFS or whatever, because everything is a go. Everything is a go. And so I just don't know who will need to do what. Also, if the Indianapolis offense doesn't return the points, then they might not have to blow it out the water. I'm just a little concerned. I'm just a little concerned at how good of a matchup it looks like for New Orleans from every aspect. And so I'm skeptical to recommend them. Because Carr, lest you not forget, this guy, he makes playing seem so difficult. He's running on and off every other play, getting medical attention, go to the blue tent, come look at my hand, got to go to TV timeout. It's just dramatic. It's very, very dramatic. There's no other quarterback in the NFL that every other play is something, it's something, it's something. I don't know what I'm going to get from him, and I don't want my lineup to be anywhere near that. If you have to go there because of injuries and seasonal, I think you should feel good about it. Shahid, I probably don't play. Thomas, fine. Olave is the bigger play. That's the better play for sure. But again, don't sleep on Kamara. He's probably the best play. Jamal Williams is a certifiably good play too, just based on game script. If they're ahead, he can run it out. If they're not ahead, they can just combo the styles of running that they're doing with the two of them. So New Orleans, a lot to offer. Indianapolis, not so much. New Orleans has been a shoot yourself in the foot team too, though, this week. They need to prove that they can go on the road and get out of there with the victory against a team that they are clearly better than. And I think that they're going to do that this week. New Orleans on the road in Indianapolis. They do enough to win. Reload. Philly at Washington. Washington not afraid of going toe-to-toe with Philly. Philly knows they got to bring it. Washington almost got out of Philadelphia with the win earlier in the season. So Philly's going to want to put it on them in Washington. I think this is all systems go with Jalen Hurts. This is all systems go with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's going to get double, triple team, and he just bosses these dudes. Look at the matchups last year. It didn't matter who they put on, how many guys they put on. He's calling guys short little man out there. It's on. It's on and popping, y'all. But also, Hurts gives you the rushing upside that you don't get anywhere else because of the tush push. So there's a lot to like about that, regardless of how many points Washington puts up. Philly's going to want to embarrass these boys, and they can do it. I like Swift, too. Goddard's in a decent spot. See, this is so much different than New Orleans. You know, I talk about a team also in a good spot, everybody in a good spot, but I'm leery of them because they haven't been able to take care of the football at the end of the game. We don't see them capitalize on the clear advantages that they have had. Whereas I can lean into Philadelphia knowing that these guys are going to come and take care of business from a production standpoint. They're going to win the game every time? No, I don't know that. I don't have a crystal ball. But as far as matchups go, that, you know, that's much more of an assured thing. Now, do I want to bring it back with Washington? I don't really care so much about doing that. They get McBride from Tennessee, does Philadelphia at safety. That's a huge upgrade for them in a year where they've been plagued with injuries. I don't know if 1 week can make it all better. So Washington should not be afraid still. McLaurin, you know, probably the primary guy to look for. I'm down on Logan Thomas, but the issue with Curtis Samuel is Jahan Dotson is still out there. He's still getting targets and looks. And so it's just the three of them that hampers the upside of Samuel. but not so much McLaurin. So I'm still with McLaurin, but I probably just don't need to go there in DFS. AJ Brown is the man. Lock it up. But Swift too. If you have Swift in season, don't play that. Feel great about that. Philadelphia defense. I just want to see you play a little bit better. I can't play them, but I want to see you play a little bit better in a game that I think Philadelphia is going to win. They're going to sweep this team like they wanted to do last year. Get out of Washington with the victory. They're going to put up points to do it, and they're going to feel good leaving too. Reload. Cleveland going to Seattle. Okay, Watson not going to play. That's good. We know what we can do. Pierre Strong and Kareem Hunt play both the run. Seattle not that imposing against the run. You can beat them on the ground. But the Seattle defense is in a good place because P.J. Walker sucks, and so there's virtually nothing to expect from the passing game. This is why I think you got to play Pierre Strong and Kareem Hunt. I put their names together. That's funny. Hunt's going to be viable in the pass game. Strong is going to be out there running the football, period. So I like them both. Play them together. Not one in this line and one in that line. Play them together. Cleveland still has a good defense. This is not a football game that they're prepared to go out to Seattle to lose. They have a tough defense. Their defense is better than Seattle's defense. So their defense knows without their quarterback, without their best running back, Chubb, without their second best running back, Ford, it's on us. They know that. It's on us. So the Cleveland defense, I think, is very interesting this week. That's a downgrade for Kenneth Walker. But if you got him in season, play him and feel fine because his backup, Zach Charbonnet, is not, I don't think he's going to play again. So you can play Walker. Charbonnet might play. That makes it a little bit murkier because he'll take a few touches here and there. But it's not a great matchup. In season, he'll just play Walker if you got him and feel okay about it. But it's not something in DFS we want to go run home to. DK Metcalf, not a great matchup. You know, same thing. For Lockett on the other side of the two of them, you got to say Metcalf because of the physicality, but the ability to get the football to him just has not been there for Geno. They've had a bit of luck on their side, and their defense has showed up at times where you don't think that they're going to. I think that's going to be the decider in this game. Cleveland on the road, that Seattle defense is going to do just enough to get that team over the hump, but both running backs for Cleveland should be fine. I just don't know how much they have. You can't rely on P.J. Walker. So this will be a tough one. I don't think they win this one. Defense keeps it close, but Seattle finally wins it at home. Reload. Baltimore at Arizona. Okay. Baltimore should be flying high after last week's victory. They showed what we all knew, which is that Detroit got some work to do. The record is not reflective of the team that you are. And I don't mean that to disappoint, but it's just true. You guys got some work to do. Baltimore is tough. They face tough opponents. They are putting it together at the right time. We leaned on them for DFS last week. It all worked out. They're going to face an Arizona team that's getting worse. People are figuring out what's going on with them defensively. We like Baltimore. We like Lamar Young. You got the rushing, Lamar Jackson. You got the rushing upside with him, which is fine. But just the rushing from Gus Edwards. You got, you know, Hill still mixing there too. So for DFS, I'm not going to recommend Gus Edwards. For season long, if you got to play Hill, if you got to play Gus Edwards, that's fine. But they're eating into each other. It's mostly Gus now. But a couple of weeks ago, you could have just said it was Hill, right? And so there's not a lot of security there. Play it if you need to. But remember, we want to mostly get invested in scenarios where we know about the runs, right? So who's going to get these runs? Who's going to get these attempts? So murky waters there. And Baltimore's still going to win that football game off the heels of their defense, which is coming together at the right time. They got some junkyard dogs. Now, also, Arizona plays tight end a little bit better, okay? So I'm going to downgrade Mark Andrews this week, but I'm going to upgrade Zay Flowers, who he just loves to throw to as well. So you've got two guys that he trusts now in terms of Lamar. Zay Flowers is the week for him. Love it. Want to use it in DFS because he's going to get the targets. It'll be easier to get the ball to him than it will be for Andrews this week. And we've seen Lamar go to Flowers consistently with the magnitude of trust. So in on that, in on the defense for the Arizona side. Doesn't matter if it's going to be DeMicardo or if it's going to be Keontae Ingram. It's going to be tough. But for seasonal, if you need to fill a gap, I still think that Ingram over DeMarcado just a little bit. I know everybody's thinking the other way, but best case scenario, just play them both because you don't know. Because Arizona's going to have to run the football a little bit to take the pressure off Dobbs in the passing game. So they have to. They have to. I just don't know how well that's going to go. So if you need it for seasonal, maybe you could play them both. DFS, there will be a lineup where I will play them both. One's going to be in the flex. The reason why I'm doing that is because I have some outside interest in Christian McCaffrey, basically. So, but as far as this football game goes, Baltimore's going to win handily. Reload Kansas City at Denver. Just did it a couple of weeks ago. Denver should have learned a few lessons here or there, but it's still going to be Kelsey's world. Mahomes, okay. Not going to be on fire like last game. And I do like Pacheco. It's going to be Pacheco. The more run this game. Denver cannot stop the run. Kansas City, I think, can get up and then run the football a little more. This is going to be a different type of a game than they played a couple of weeks ago. This type is when Kansas City's defense, which has added a few pieces subsequently, plays better. I think they can get turnovers here. They can help create a short field. Mahomes and company can get off to a nice start. Kelsey's in a smash spot, a very good spot. He's also very expensive on DFS, but he's in a smash spot is Mr. Kelsey. And those are the guys that I like. Kelsey, I like Mahomes the least of all of them, ironically, but obviously still like him a lot. But Pacheco, Kelsey. Anybody else? Not really. I have interest in Gray, the other tight end, just because Denver's that bad at tight end. We've seen Gray catch, at least a pass in every game. Three games he's had multiple passes. So at $2,800, not going to kill you. Can help you if he's standing around catching that touchdown, though. So that's how you win those GPP tournaments, basically, plays like that. So have some interest there. But on the Denver side, not much, man. You could play Javonte Williams if you want to. That's fine. But, Sutton, you're guessing, Judy, you're guessing. I mean, there's just not a lot to like there. The Kansas City defense will be the difference maker for this football game. Denver just won last week. I know they're going to be in their fields, but I don't think there's a way that they beat Kansas City this week and get to 3-5. I think Kansas City rolls them, pushes Denver back to 2-6. It's kind of who they are, right? They'll be right back to the drawing board, but they'll be happy to be done with Kansas City for the year. Reload. All right, Cincinnati going to San Fran. And like I said, no Brock Purdy. So no Purdy means things are going to be a little bit more difficult for San Francisco. Now, Sam Darnold is going to come in, so we don't know what we're going to get. I think that does elevate Kittle a little bit, more of a security blanket type scenario. So I like that in seasonal, but I don't necessarily want to chance it in DFS. So I probably stay away there. But in seasonal, I'm feeling fine about Kittle. But it's really McCaffrey. Lean into it. He played last week, so he should play again, right? I want to lean into that. You've got your quarterback out. You've got Deebo Samuel out. And so, obviously, this is just more reason to lean into something that you do well anyway. You want to fire him up. He's so expensive for DFS, $9,500, $9,200, whatever it is. It's hard to afford unless you're doing something weird, like I just said, pairing him with the Arizona running backs. But for season long, he's in a great spot for sure. Now, Ayuk, I'm less interested in because I have more interest in the Cincinnati defense. There's too many pieces missing for San Fran. They could still win this football game because they have a great defense. But I think that Cincinnati's defense can keep them in this game now. Joe Burrow's going to play better. I think he can have his best game of the year. Minnesota has shown that San Fran can be had on defense. Again, if you can evade the rush, get the ball out, they're not tough back in the secondary, which is what we've talked about, right? So I really do like Burrow. I think he's my alternate quarterback for this Sunday for DFS. Burrow to Chase. It's not this defense, I don't think, has a solution for that problem, okay? I'm going to downgrade Mixon this week and everybody else, Higgins, Boyd, none of them really, but I've got interest in, our quarterback, Burrow. I've got interest in Chase, and I've got interest in the Cincinnati defense. Now, on the San Francisco side, like I said, Kittle, but mostly McCaffrey. The San Fran defense, too, they're going to be tough, but I don't have as much interest in them this week. With the quarterback situation being what it is, I think that puts them in a disadvantage because they could get tasked with dealing with some Sam Darnold turnovers that create a short field. So it's like, you know, easy for the other team to score, even though it's no fault of the 49ers. So I'm a little out on that right there. Paying down on DFS for the Cincinnati defense is going to save our tuchuses this week. I mean, they are literally down there at $2,200. We're going to be able to use that to our advantage. So I'm literally telling you guys how I'm putting together this one tournament lineup. Already admitted what you need to play with McCaffrey. I'll give you another admission. I don't think there's any variation you can do with McCaffrey that doesn't include playing that Cincinnati defense against him. You can do it, though. There's nothing saying you can't do that. You know, in one format last week, I had the San Fran defense, and I also had Cousins, and I also had Hockenson. It worked out just fine. So this is not your dad's fantasy football, right? We could still win that way. But Cincinnati on the road, I think San Francisco, you know, they've lost two in a row. They don't have the quarterback now. Party lost two in a row. Now you downgrade a quarterback. There's going to be some questions in San Fran. So this is how I know they're going to lean hard on the run. But at the end of the day, Cincinnati, they're coming in strong. They can get to 4-3 and make a lot of people talk with this victory. Too much Burrow, too much Chase. Cincy on the road looking good with the defense. Reload. Sunday night, Chicago at the Chargers. I'll be at this one to see the bloodbath in person. The Chargers are catching the Bears at a good time for them because they need a get right game, and they're going to get one here. Keenan Allen's in a great spot. Joshua Dobbs in a great spot, but he might not play. Eckler's in a really good spot too, but not as good as those guys. Eckler can catch passes, which is why I'm not worried about his production. The Bears been a little tougher against the running backs, but he should still be okay. You know, their defense is in a good spot. Chicago coming in with Bajan again. I think that's going to be trouble. Kind of a revenge game for Khalil Mack. I could see him wrecking house here. I could really see him wrecking house here. Bosa getting healthier week after week. So, like the Charger defense for sure. What about the Bears? D'Onta Foreman, I think, takes a backseat this week to Roschon Johnson. I think that's going to keep them in the game. They got to run to They got to do it, just like they needed to run against the Raiders last week to keep themselves in the game. Chicago's going to have to run this week too. So I like that opportunity for Roschon Johnson. If you have him, play him, load him up. But anything else from Chicago, I'm probably staying away from. There's not enough. There's too much offense for the Chargers. Chicago won't have enough to be able to keep up. And I don't think their defense is good enough to hold the Chargers. Just really looking at Keenan Allen to have a special day. And just give them, you know, a feel-good victory, much like Allen got over the Bucks tonight, just to kind of reassure yourself and get back on the path to victory. Chargers at home Sunday night, and that, let's get to our last shot of making a good one. We'll reload for Monday night. It's the Vegas Raiders who want to visit the Detroit Lions. Vegas is not a very good football team. Detroit is going to be at home. We know Goff is better at home. I think they can get back on the path to victory here at home. They're going to need to stay ahead of Minnesota. So you got to have this one, and I think they will. No Montgomery, I don't think. He's looking doubtful, so it's a Gibbs game, and we like that. And we think Gibbs can be productive here. That's a fantastic play right there. If you got that on Monday night, feel good about that. As far as the Vegas defense goes, for Goff, I mean, you know, LaPorta's in play for sure, but Amon-Ra St. Brown definitely over LaPorta, and then I think the rest of the receivers as needed, but they probably won't be needed because I think Gibbs can have himself a fantastic day. You know, on the Vegas side of things, I think you are getting Jimmy G back, which is good. You need that, and so he's going to play, which means Adams is a go for sure. But also Jacoby Myers, don't sleep on him, also a go. And this will all open up stuff for Josh Jacobs this week, who will have a better week. So I'm not excited to play that in DFS, but if you got Jacobs in season, I'll play him and feel good about it. The rest of those Raiders, you can play and feel better about it. This will be a tougher game for Detroit because you get Jimmy G back. Vegas can go in there and they can make it a tough contest. I'm going to give it to Detroit because they're at home and they do play better at home by a long stretch. But Vegas ain't going to make this one easy. It's going to be to the fourth quarter until this one's decided. But I think at the end of the day, they will end up leaving this one 3-5. And then you'll see the Detroit Lions sit at 6-2 and try to play keep away from the Minnesota Vikings. So, guys, that's how I see the game shaping up this week. That's the reload segment. Hopefully that gives you a better idea of what you think you need for Sunday.
now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
And DFS, finally, guys, let's get after it. I'm going to stick with our format, giving you guys, you know, the key plays, not saying play this whole lineup like we talked about last week, but at these price points, I'm giving you some options if you're stuck with what you want to do. Listen to the whole show and make your picks. And then you put these in there when you don't know, when you don't have a pick, when you're unsure, or when you want to be sure, when you need some upside in the tournament, or when you need some security in a cash game. That's what we're talking about, right? So, DFS, QB, we're going with Jalen Hurts, $8,200. Again, Washington plays them so well. Philly will want to keep up the foot race. They want to keep the foot on the gas, even if the defense does play better today. But who knows? Anyways, no better QB rushing touchdown upside than with Jalen Hurts, lock and loaded. Mahomes will get popular. He'll be very popular going against Denver. We'll get a piece of that at running back with Pacheco. They should be running clock, should be Kansas City. And the defense is much better than that first time around, too. So, again, I think our script holds true versus what we saw before. It doesn't need to be Mahomes for this one. There's going to be a lot of other ways they can win. And we've seen Mahomes' number be down statistically from where he is, versus other years. Maybe not last week, but other years. Lamar Jackson may not need to do as much this week. I'll take Hurts rushing upside over Lamar Jackson. So we got to play Hurts over Jackson. And Andrews is in a tough matchup, like we said. So Lamar probably leaning on his other blanket, Zay Flowers, which is why we will incorporate him. Tua is interesting. Those wide receivers are banged up. You know, not always the best production when playing Belichick. I mean, you know, 250 and two, we can get that somewhere else. But that's just my thoughts there. If you want to play that, again, I don't have a problem with that. I'm staying away from it. Winnable matchup for Cousins, but the run game should be good this week, period. Alternate QB will be Burrow at $6,000 versus San Fran. Just interesting to pay that price and pair him with Chase. And then at wide receiver, we're going to go A.J. Brown, the pairing with Hurts. Washington will have their hands full. All systems go there. Hill's banged up. Can't do it at $9,500. I just can't do that. Tougher matchup for Cooper Kupp. We did explain that. And for Puka as well. Lamb, no, because of the Dak. A-dot. Waddle, banged up. Metcalf, too. No Brock, so no Ayuk is my note there. And then tough matchup for Thielen. Pittman sees Lattimore, so we don't want to go against him. And then Garrett Wilson better against zone, no Watson, then no Cooper. Just my thoughts of how I get to this. I want you guys to understand, not just me give you the play, you go use it. I'm not harboring the information. I'm trying to tell you the information too. So this is how we get to Zay Flowers at $5,600 and Christian Kirk at $5,900, both of whom we explained in Reload should be in good places. But we want to give honorable mention to two gentlemen that you can pay down with and get your fireworks on for tournaments. Romeo Doubs, $4,900. Kendrick Bourne, $4,700. So you better believe I'll be doing that. So in terms of how my plays look, I'm sticking to this, like, you know, group of guys like Hurts, Brown, these running backs, the defense, and I'm going to mix and match those wide receivers. But that's the interesting thing you guys noticed this week. We've been paying up for wideouts, paying down for running backs. Well, I've given you some cheaper wide receivers this week that you want to pay down for. And then at running back, Pacheco at $6,100. I just want exposure to that Kansas City game, but I do think it's the defense and the running. So we like him at $6,100. I don't think he'll be highly owned, and we can get great production there. Pierre Strong at $4,300. I want to pay down for him because Hunt is banged up. They used Strong last week, enough so that Hunt was banged up. I know he's still questionable, but I just think with no Watson and with PJ Walker, you can play both. You can support them both. So at $4,300, that's doing us a lot to save salary. We can be aggressive in other places now. But I want to give honorable mention to Hunt at $5,200. We're going to use him in tournaments, the two of them together. And I also want to mention just paying down for those Cardinal running backs. I'm not suggesting you go crazy with that, but I'm going to make one lineup where I do it. so that I could pair them with McCaffrey. I might pair Hunt and Strong with McCaffrey. So, guys, listen to what I'm telling you over and over again. I'm making like six or seven lineups this week. Last week, I made just one, like I told you guys. And that was it. The one, I did an alternate. Say I did the alternate, but I didn't. It was just the one. I told you guys I only wanted to play one quarterback last week. And I was sticking to that, and we won with that. This week, we want to have multiple lineups that are just small variations of the same group of people. So I've said it out loud, and I've given you the variations. Tight end, no better play than Kelce at $8,400. That's too expensive for me this week because of the other things I want to play, so I got to pay down. Two interesting options in my book. Okay, number one, Hayden Hurst, explain and reload. The looks and the targets and the touches are there. The ADOT is there. You know, Bryce Young looking for a blanket type, you know, relationship near the line of scrimmage. I think playing Houston supports that. So $2,900, he doesn't need to do a lot to pay off for us. I can take that risk for sure, even in cash games. But if you want Gray, that's fine too. The backup tight end for Kansas City. Again, you can see him standing around for a touchdown. He's not going to run up and down the field. All production runs through Kelce. But Denver's bad at the tight end. Kansas City has two tight end sets, man. This is sometimes when you ever run, see that touchdown on TV and you're like, oh, man, I had Kelce and Gray. But Kelce was out there. Two tight end sets. They're very bad at covering the tight end. So I have a lot of interest in paying down with him as well, just so I can afford everything else. And that still gets you a part of that Mahomes magic, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that. But in the flex, we want to go with Breece Hall. I think he'll get overlooked. $5,900, that's a fantastic price to pay. And so we want to take advantage of that for a guy that's got home run potential in a matchup that is not that difficult. I do think that Jets going to have to lean on the run game if they want to come away from this one with a victory in a tough matchup. And defense, the Falcons at $2,900, can't pass that up against Tennessee without, you know, a serviceable quarterback for all I know. The Chiefs are interesting at $3,900 for sure if you want to pay up. Seattle at $3,400, I have some interest. Maybe a lineup there. But Bengals at $2,200 also will use them to fit in McCaffrey. Those small variations will be going with the Hurts, the Brown, the Hall. You know, the Pacheco, or rather the Strong. Strong, Atlanta defense. Hall, Brown, Hurts. That's most of the lineups right there. But I've given you guys all the variations, so I feel very good about being true to what I'm going to do on Sunday with the only other quarterback being Burrow, just because I told you guys I would. But that's what I got for you. Sorry we ran over a little bit longer, but we got all the games, so we had to do it. Guys, enjoy. Have fun. Good luck on Sunday. You know what we'll do. Come right back here next week, talk about how we did and get ready for week 9. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.